Welcome to another extravagant episode of Ask the Phoenix. Goose, what episode is this? 31, 32?
31, I think.
It's 31?
It's 32.
We in here. Back again, baby. You know what I mean? Your two favorite podcasters bringing back strategies and techniques to shatter paradigm thinking, you know what I mean, for you to excel in your career or in your endeavors and relationships, but most importantly, as a capitalist in business. It's important to remember that this arena, this regime, whatever you want to call it, that we live in is largely ran, scripted, and sculpted by capitalism. And there are certain types of thinking that comes with such, like if you're in the working class, the middle class, some people like to say the middle class doesn't exist. And then you have the capitalist class, those who exploit their imagination and ideas to come up with endeavors, ways in which they can contribute, whether it be research or business, enterprise, company, corporation, whatever, to trade upon, to advance how we live. But within that, man, it's important for y'all to understand that the more we learn, the more that we know nothing at all. The whole point of having this podcast was built in curiosity of reaching other folks that wanted to share like this, also engaging those people who are looking for more, who are approaching those BHAG goals, those big, hairy, audacious goals. And, you know, that at this point, the goals might be looking a little larger than them. We happy to have you, man. We welcome you. Shout out to everybody that's been consistent in tuning in. Everybody in our Instagram community that's been rolling and rocking and supporting the marketing endeavor. Of having little snippets, because I've been posting these little snippets from my phone on Instagram. Shout out to YouTube, everybody that's checking us out on YouTube. The community is steadily growing. Shout out everybody that's coming back and connecting with us on this platform and support it and email us and reach out and tell us to keep doing what we're doing. And even that ask us questions, man. I love when we get questions. So yeah, man. And we're gonna be shouting out. Let me shout them out now, because I got the Time Magazine, the issue on the science and of creativity, and my department, the International Center for Studies in Creativity, is mentioned in there. Specifically, Gerard Puccio, the chair of the department. Dr. Gerard Puccio, so shout him out. And one of my illustrious colleagues, stellar professional, Ismet Mamnoon, is also featured in there. So it's super dope to be connected with these individuals on a personal level and have them in there. So I'm gonna try to glaze over that at some point throughout the podcast. So yeah, strap in. Vibe with us. We always got a super dope playlist going on in the background. It used to be curated by none other than the master Gusso Swavy, but Goose is Swavy. But you know, I took it over because I don't even remember what happened. I just remember that I ended up taking it over. I don't even remember what happened, Goose. What happened? Do you remember what happened?
You just wanted what you wanted.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. I was coming. I was coming with recommendations. That's like, yo, could you play this for me? Suggestions. Right. Could you play this for me? Could you play that for me?
Right.
Which was cool though, because you know, we said you get the vibe, you know what I mean?
That's no issue.
Yeah, ain't no issue in that. It's all keeping it player, you know what I mean? But in this episode is we want to bring you cutting edge equipment. Is what I want to call it, mental equipment that you can use in synthesizing strategy as soon as you hear it. You know what I mean? It's either you resonate with it or you don't. It's polarizing or it isn't. But when we talk and we teach and when we listen and we learn, and we want to be yanking those strings, that lead to you being in groupthink, for lack of better terms. So this episode is near and dear to my heart. As I say, I claim that every episode is better than the last. So this episode is going to be about, well, actually posing the question, is minimalism contributing to loneliness, or are we simply, or are we merely alone because of our professional endeavors, and we need to, like we consistently build on, is find our network, find our home, find our family. So I wanted to start it out. I wanted to start out with looking at the definitions of the words lonely, alone, and the American dream. I looked that up as well because I feel like that's conducive to the conversation. I also have some other things that I want to share, like practices that will help you rise above your current state of thinking, like that I'm alone, or that I'm feeling lonely, or whatever. And I also have a super dope quote from one of my colleagues, Andy Burnett. Shout him out. That I believe I mentioned before, but I feel like it's gonna really hit home in this conversation today. So, without further ado, we're gonna kick into the definitions of lonely. You ready, Goose?
I'm ready.
So, lonely is an adjective, and it has several meanings. And I picked out 1 through 4. So 1 is 1A and 1B. You got 2, 3, and 4. So 1A is being without company. 1B is cut off from others. 2, not frequented by human beings, desolate. 3, sad from being alone, lonesome. 4, producing a feeling of, what did I write? Producing a feeling of, I can't read that right now, but I'll go back to it. And then we got alone, which is an adjective. 1 is separated from others, which is basically the same thing as lonely. 2, exclusive of anyone or anything else, only. 3 is considered without reference to any other. That's 3A, and 3B is incomparable or unique. And the adverbs for alone is solely exclusive, 1. 2, without aid or support. All right? So now we're going to fill that in with the context of the American dream. The American dream is a social ideal that stresses egalitarianism and especially material prosperity. Also, the prosperity or life that is the realization of this ideal. The ideal by which equality of opportunity is accessible to any American, allowing the highest aspirations and goals to be achieved. The American dream is achieved through sacrifice, risk-taking, and rigorous planning rather than leaving it to chance. However, just blindly following the ideal of the American dream without questioning or without evaluating that the American ideal to your own ideals, that can produce mechanical manifestations. Those scripts that tell you what you quote unquote should have, or those things that you're supposed to do and by when you're supposed to do them. Again, supposed to or should. And that can be really, that ideal can become oppressive, because like I know a lot of folks right now that's starting to question their career goals and their commitments due to like the values, like these ideals, blindly taking them on without questioning what they mean or what they may do to their own lives. So, for instance, the American ideal is to graduate high school, go to college, get the car, get the house with the career, have a couple kids, get married. Not in that order, but these are the ideals. And we can act like we don't follow those ideals, but they mean a lot. They are imprint on who we are and how we think in this society. So, you know, some people might say that, okay, I ain't want to go to school or whatever, and they didn't. But they still got the car, they still got the house, they looking for their mate so they can get their life started. But the second that all the variables don't present themselves for the perfect American ideal, then we start to get in these stupors, I'll say. You know what I mean? We all got biological clocks. We all got things that we see ourselves having by a certain time. And when those things don't play out that way, they can nag at us. Am I right, Goose?
Absolutely.
Those things could nag at us, man. And it can create this pressure that's not even real, right? So I wanted to share, you know, we always being vulnerable on this podcast. So I wanted to share what this looks like for me. You know what I mean? As you all know, and you know, what is it? What was it? 2016? 2016, I went homeless in pursuit of a better life for not just myself, but for my son, my legacy. And that turned my world upside down yet again. Yeah, those familiar with my story know what I'm talking about. So in coming out of that and finding myself, for lack of better terms, in this new world, I realized that all those things from my prior life of being in the street was hollow. So I want to say maybe about 90% of it I gave up. I gave away. That looked like all my furniture from my apartment, my couches, my king size sleigh bed. I had the raw leather sleigh bed with the cherry oak bottoms. Just all the stuff that, you know, you just amass because you want people to know that you have taste. You know what I mean, Goose? Like you got,
absolutely.
You got stuff, you know what I mean? You got stuff, even the law.
I got stuff.
Yeah, you got stuff. You got jewelry. You know what I mean? I would often joke like, I mean, I lost more jewelry than these dudes didn't even had, you know what I'm saying? For no reason, just because of where I was, you know what I mean? And, like I said, I got to these heights and quote unquote heights, and I still felt like I didn't have everything. I had a couple businesses at my vending machine company. I had I had two cabs at the time. I had the 1,100 square foot loft. You know, women. I'm doing my thing. I'm taking trips. I'm all over. I'm doing my own thing. You know what I'm saying? And it just was hollow. It was hollow, and it was nothing. It was a house of cards. It was nothing that I could present to my son that I felt like we can have an intellectual conversation off of, you know, like where dad was going. I didn't see myself being able to defend that or to have, you know, intellectual dialogue with discourse with anybody. So I gave it all up. I gave it all up, no matter what that meant. And a year and a half later, I found myself teetering on the last of my savings and having to make a vital decision to give up this life of everything that was really hollow and everything that came with it, or, you know, search or pursue things that I was passionate about, that I felt like could be a solid foundation to build parenting off of, to build a life off of, to choose a mate with, or to interest a mate with. So I let it go. I went to living in a grad house, and that meant one room out of six rooms on two floors, tiny rooms. And one of those houses built probably went in the 30s, 40s.
Right.
So the rooms were tiny. My king size bed filled up the whole room. But I'm grateful to Mike Fox, man. Shout out to him for, you know, letting me live. He helped a young brother see a way when there was no way. And he believed in me. So that helped me regain my confidence in myself and what I was learning. And then Guru took me in. Shout out to her. Always be my family because of that. You know what I'm saying? Mike as well. They always be my family because they took me. They took a chance. They took a chance on me. I do the talent or whatever. They took a chance, and I'll always be grateful. So that helped me learn two new points. That notion of no new friends is out the fucking window. That just doesn't work, because I would have been in a gutter somewhere, on a curb somewhere, pridefully trying to take my son over my brother's house or my sister's house or something for the weekend so I could stay with them and just thugging it out during the rest of the week when I didn't have him, just to prove a point. You know what I mean? That I don't fuck with no new people. When in reality, I really needed him. You know what I mean? I'm not a desperate person, but I was in a situation that really, that led to me being, like, could have led to really dire straits. And that would have led me to doubling down in my old life. Like, man, fuck it. This shit is rigged. Let me get back to it. So, boom, fast forward. Come up out of homelessness. I had made a plan to be out of Guru House in 6 months. She was like, yeah, let's cut that down. Let's try to make it in 3 months. A year later, I moved out, right? But I didn't just move out. I had a plan. I'm like, yo, I'm going to move in to a commercial space that I could use as a trap house. Again, I still had that trapping mentality, that hustling mentality. And I had a business model that I knew worked. So my plan was to get into this commercial space, trap it out with my new product, creativity, soft skills and the science behind them. But I didn't know how I was going to do that. So what I wanted to do was put myself in a situation where I had nothing to focus on but building products for Phoenix Innovation Group, specifically the Burn Ward. You know what I'm saying, Goose?
I do.
So I put myself in the position to cook up some dope. Stay with me with the metaphors. I'm not trying to deliberately piss anybody off. I just want you to think, just to step into my shoes and see my perspective and give an accurate description of how I think. So I'm like, man, I'm going to get some furniture, some air mattresses, and by night, this is going to be my studio apartment. By day, this is going to be Buffalo's premier location for soft skill incubation. However, at the time, again, I didn't know that. I didn't know what it was that everybody was getting from me. So it was me taking the chance to stay here and still co-parent, you know, from this space. So I took the risk. I gambled on me. And here we are a year later, you know, with me embarking on a whole nother space based off the efforts produced in the burn ward with myself. I started to think to myself, damn, this is really a burning transformation, Goose. Like, how can I expect anybody else to burn up in their own fires and transform when I couldn't do it myself? And that's the spirit, that's the mojo that I leave in that space, because I literally had to do that. I literally built my way out of that. Now working, like I tell you, I'm working, having much larger contracts, like a solidified stance, imprint in my community, driving an impact in the world, being with change leaders, change agents, leaders. As I said, my people being featured in Time Magazine, like, it's major, you know what I'm saying? And it's humbling. It's humbling at the same time. However, it does me well. It serves me well to realize the network that I gained, Goose, versus everything that, like, people that I felt like I had to, or the energies I felt like I had to modulate in order to get here, and which largely left me feeling like I was lonely. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then I had to shift that narrative to be like, no, you just like really like you feel alone right now because of the transition that you've had to make, that you had to stay committed to. And then the minimalism that came with that. When I look around, excuse me, and I'm remembering my lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? Like going out and being, you know, having the moniker of Champagne King, and it's just the life, you know what I'm saying? It's just what comes with it, you know what I mean? And having people see me as they saw me at that point, you know what I mean? At my lowest point. And not trying to convince them that I am this dude and I am this brain. I'm just, you know, just live in the modesty of my moment. You know what I mean? Where I was and where I am. Instead of like, yo, you know how people would be like, yeah, you know, I used to do this, you know what I mean? I used to do this, you know. And then my young bull, the young god, Bengali, told me about this book that he was reading and this quote that came from one of his favorite authors, that judge a man by what he's lost, or judge a man by what he's been through, not what he's lost. Something like that. And that struck me on a major chord, because it again, it forced me to be introspective about my story, Goose, and trace it all the way back to the very beginnings of being lost in the world. You know what I'm saying? Not really feeling safe and all of those things. And then it, now adding that all the way up to the man that I am today, soon to be 35 next month, it's no question why the ups and downs of my life look so extreme, because they've largely been on my shoulders. You know what I'm saying? The risk taking has largely been on my shoulders. So I've been limited to my own ideas because not having that trust, that brain trust, that energy that I could immediately turn to and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing, and this is what I want to do, and this is where I need assistance, or could you help me clarify so that I can, you know, bring a better product, or help me evaluate so I can build, stronger solutions. This has been trial and learn on every level. in every room within every network. You know what I'm saying, Goose?
I do.
Like, for real. Like, even when I met you, this has been trial and learn. Like, this could have went all bad when we first met. We could have not hit it off.
Right.
It was what, how many years ago? I don't even remember. Better part of 10 years, though, right?
Right.
At this point now. So, you know. I mean, I've been going on, Goose. You got anything to add to that?
Nah, I mean, I feel like you got a good start on like telling your background story and why you might feel alone.
Or what alone could look like. You know right. what I'm saying? I'm trying to shape that. I'm trying to shape on two different fronts, like what minimalism could do, you know what I'm saying, with seeing your life a certain kind of way. Like, imagine right here, all of this is gone. You know what I'm saying? Everything that you've built within the past 5 years, you've been living here 5 years right now, right?
Three.
So everything you've built in the past 3 years, everything is just like, as a product of this life, is gone. And you're starting completely all over again from the ground up. And you still have that same taste. You still like 65-inch TVs, but you can't afford it. You still like big sectionals, but you can't afford it.
To me, I don't know if that's minimalism. To me, I think minimalism is like something you would like want. You'd want to live like that. Like you want like minimalism. To me, is like that's what like people want to live like that. Like, they're choosing to like, I want to have just the bare necessities.
I mean, I totally agree with that, but then you still have a faction of people out here that happen to slip upon minimalism due to whatever efforts in their life, whether they had to go back and live with their parents, whether they had to tuck tail and go and give it all up, whatever. Or if they came upon hard times, however they was introduced to the notion of minimalism, they either accepted it or rejected it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is there was some resistance on my part at looking around, like I felt like a cold buster.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like in reality, I could say, yeah, I'm making the right decisions, but that shit fucked with my psyche because it challenged my notion of what manhood was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So starting all over again meant that for me, I had to accept the fact that I'm now a minimalist. I have to accept minimalism as a part of my experience so that I won't be stuck ruminating. Right?
Right.
So rumination is a type of thinking where you just, your wheels are spinning on just this one problem, right? You like worrying over and over and again about this one problem. And as a person that suffers from like generalized anxiety and PTSD, obsessive compulsive disorder, it's not well for me to be ruminating or exercising that type of thinking about problems. I need progressive thinking about problems. So I needed to be creative about problem solving. You know what I mean? And well, like how I frame these challenges. So I had to start looking at them as just that, like this was a challenge to build a real life, to become a citizen versus, you know what I mean, like adopting that rhetoric that echoes in the streets. Like, man, shit, we gonna hustle forever. Like, you know, especially if you black, you ain't got no other way. Like, you always gonna sell some weed. There's always gonna be something that you sell. So I vehemently attacked that notion with hard work. Like, don't tell me that the only way that I'm able to make it in this world is by the worst occupation known to man. You know what I mean? Selling poison to my people, becoming addicted to the money like a drug itself. As Jay-Z calls it, the allure of breaking the law, and then risking my freedom every day, throwing bricks and boulders at the penitentiary as if, you know, the dangers of this lifestyle and this protocol isn't real. You know what I mean? My cousin, myself, you know, we keep getting pulled over. We keep beating eyes. We keep getting chances taken. I'm riding with a revoked license every day. You know what I'm saying? But because I speak the way I do, I was getting chances. You know what I mean? on my way to school and shit with bombs. I mean, I got a gun in my bag. If the cop had to check, if cop had to check me at any time, so it would have been knocked, man. So I ain't really. Like I really address these things differently because that was circumstance. That's what I had to do. So, but then when you come, when I graduated to this other side, for lack of better terms, I felt like I didn't have any friends. I felt like the friends that I did have definitely didn't understand me. You know, I was going through a lot mentally, like motherfuckers questioning everything about me. Because I walked away, but not like in my integrity. It's just
out of curiosity.
Yeah, and being the butt of the joke and shit like that. I had to deal with being the butt of the joke at the time for the sake of producing something that only I saw in my mind. You know what I mean? Because people will try to arrest you with their thoughts of themselves by their limitations that would arrest your development. And it was getting to me a lot of times. You know what I mean? Sometimes I still go at it, and I feel like, you know, playing my music like in the background, that y'all get a raw taste of the soundtrack to my life. Like I use this music to charge up the champion that is me. You know what I mean? Like this is my battle chance. This is a war cry. You know what I mean? Right. Like, are we not playing? That's why I was having Goose come in all the time. Like, I'm a big fan of underground music. And like so is Goose to a certain degree, but you know he's more of, you know, the R&B king. Would you call yourself the R&B mixtape legend, Goose?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, of your time in this area, you know, he's the R&B mixtape legend. You know what I mean? So he wanted to set the tone of, Ronnie Romance. In the quiet hour on the quiet storm, or the warm hour on the quiet storm, and I wasn't.
When I'm chilling, I like to listen to softer music because when I'm working, I have to listen to like the hard shit, you know.
So right.
Like when I'm just chilling, I like to listen to the softer stuff.
See, when I'm
hanging out,
when I'm with the softer sex, I like to listen to the softer stuff.
I understand that.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I will, like, for the most part, I will listen to it by myself because, again, like I said, I'm inspired by life, by love songs. Like love is life, so I treat love songs as like, you know what I mean? Like an affirmation to life. Like I should be loving myself. I should be loving life, and I should be attacking it that way. But feeling alone is hard to overcome, especially when you transition it, man. Or you want to transition, and you have nobody around you that can support your endeavors. You know what I mean? You have to go out and find that, and then it's like, well, how do you find that even if you don't have the confidence to say that? Yeah, this is the life I'm living now. This is what I'm doing. And then the question at that point is, do you even know what you're doing then? You know what I'm saying? Like, It took me, y'all, I'm so excited. I'm going to share it with y'all. I always do commercials for everybody else. So I'm going to do a commercial for Phoenix Innovation Group. I'm super excited. Shout out to my man, my new guy, Dr. Kyle Fancher, my chiropractor, man, you know what I mean? That's leading my recovery, my physical therapy from the accident I had in February, where that unlicensed driver slammed into the back of our vehicle, unlicensed texting driver. He had showed me one of his new marketing tools. And I had read the first couple paragraphs and I was like, yo, I'm going to use this. This is going to be a template for me. And he was like, yo, I'm sharing it with you because I think you're an intellectual and I'd appreciate your feedback on this. Damn. That's crazy. That shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna take a look at it. So I goes home. This is Wednesday of last week. I goes home, it's on my mind, it's pressing me that way. Like I know I'm inspired. You know what I mean, Goose? Like I know I'm inspired because it's pressing me. So then Thursday morning, I knew I had a meeting, my no innovation meeting. I knew I had a meeting. So within that meeting, like being around all those creatives, being around all those like intellectuals, scholars, it motivates me and inspires me. So I'm like, yo, I'm going to get some work done because this is a large conference call, and I'm going to use the work to help me concentrate on the content of the call, the focus of the call. So I pulled out that piece of paper that I got from Dr. Fancher, and I was able to synthesize what I do, y'all. And I was electrified. But that's me going off on a tangent. I'm gonna share it with y'all later. That's me going off on a tangent. But back to loneliness and feeling alone and all of that and how we got to that. So within minimalism now, right? I'm able to evaluate myself, like, okay, and my surroundings. Am I like my friends? Damn. Like, were they around me because of what I was able to produce? As Fab say, is they around me because I'm official? Because I'm beneficial or because I'm beneficial. So I got to learn how to love myself all over again. You know what I mean, Goose? I don't know if you ever had a situation like that where you had to take a long look at yourself based on the principles that you thought you were made of and you thought was important to you to the principles that were really important to you.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And I had to reconstruct life on something solid, like something I could say was probably to something that I was speaking to, the platitudes of. I wanted it for real. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't live a life of 100% integrity in a dark world, you know what I mean, on the black market. So to really exercise those principles that I have of integrity first, service before self, creative excellence in everything I do, brilliance and collaboration, like I needed to really become that. And I did. Like even my cab company went down bad. Like everything had gone wrong, but I looked at this as a challenge and was like, yo, you know what? I'm going to focus on my craft. And I did. I got the apprenticeship, as I said so many times before. That led me into opening the doors to Phoenix Innovation Group in 2000. That led me to doing research. And then that research led me to opening the doors to Phoenix Innovation Group in April 2016, which led me to teaching with volunteering in different spaces in the field of creativity. And then that led me to teaching at SUNY at Buffalo State College. And then that led itself to more experience, greater speaking ability, more coherent thoughts, concise writings, more friends, larger referral network, and then the cherry on top, working with the leaders of industry in this area. It's like to work with these individuals was, or these teams was an honor for me. And then to be getting paid on top of it, still to be getting paid on top of it is a bonus. Even with working with my clientele and my own thing, that's the piece de resistance. Like working at the burn ward, you know, we're helping people shatter those paradigms. You know what I mean? Like even when we first started working together, Goose, like, outside of being my man and we was just working together, like to see you have certain breakthroughs, you know what I mean? I had to keep questioning, like, yo, does this really work? Did that really work? He's like, yeah, dude, like for real. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Got you right back to working.
For
For sure.
Immediately, tap it right back into your creativity, hungry all over again. And then you was going through something at the same time. So it was just like, you know, I saw you coping in real time and using that.
For sure.
And that kind of brings me to my next point of like having meditative relief efforts. That's what I call them. Like MREs, because I wanted something.
Right.
Like from when I was in the military.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, MREs are meals ready to eat. So I wanted to be like, okay, so what could I use as like a meal ready to eat for the mind? You know what I mean? Like when a person is feeling stuck or they feel like they're in a bind, in a stupor, they feel like they're ready to give up or whatever, what could they do? And I'm like, well, they need to meditate. And then meditating is so difficult for people because they think meditation can only be performed one way. And in reality, people were searching for relief from whatever they had going on. They wanted a complete contrast from what they had going on. But they didn't want to stop working. You know what I mean? They didn't want to lose productivity. So I took all those things and was like, okay, shit, we're going to go with meditative relief effort. And what that looks like is that's anything that you like that brings you to a sense of balance. Like, Goose, you like to go play basketball.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Even if it's just shooting around in the yard.
It's like therapeutic for me. For
yeah.
Sure.
And it also has gotten your skill level up and your hobby to what, 85%?
I'm definitely way better than like I was.
Yeah. Your just, shooting just level. Off of that. Your but shooting level is definitely.
It's definitely official. One of the things I like to do, like to get away, like definitely like a meditation type thing for me, for sure. Even if, like you said, even if it's just shooting around, I don't necessarily have to be playing like a game.
But that also has like unseen benefits. Like somebody think they're going to come crack your ass because just by looking at you.
Right.
Like I'm about to fuck you up with this basketball boy.
Right.
Don't play around. Right. And to see your level of aggression on the court as well as the fluency of your shot.
Right.
It's like. So that's largely therapeutic. And then you was like, yo, shit, working on my art, like working on cutting and sewing projects.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Painting and things like that is meditative for me. That makes me feel good. So I'm like, we talked about like doing more of that, you know what I mean? To bring you more towards balance.
Yeah.
And bring you to a sense of reprieve from the everyday goings on. You know what I mean? But still keeping you productive, still within your effort to make more, you know what I mean? To do more. And it worked, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
At the very least, you know what I mean? For certain things, it helped you cope with what you had going on at that time.
For me, it works every time just because there are my things that like,
it's yours.
That's what I'm saying. So it's for yours. Me, it works every time.
So, you know, I'm hoping y'all catching the gist of that. You know what I'm saying? Your meditative relief effort is simply things that you like to do that brings you great energy to bring you back into a sense of balance. You know what I mean? Like, okay, let me just walk away from this right now. Let me go play some ball. Let me go hang out with my friends. Let me go shopping. Let me go try a new, like that new restaurant. Let me jerk off. Let me do anything that's going to bring me back to a sense of, okay, I'm ready to get back at this thing with a clear head again. You know what I mean? And for me, it's a lot of those things, especially like hanging with my son. My son is one of the big, big things. That I do as an MRE every single week. Because for one thing, it's just a sense of home with him. Even, you know, trapping like how I do. Like, just like, you know, I get in that Papa Bear, like, sense, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And knowing that he's comfortable and that he's sleeping. And when I'm up early during the day, I'm get up. I'm going to take me a walk. I'm going to smoke me something. I'm going to have me a nice cup of matcha tea mixed with something else. Get me an affirmation from my tea. And I might get to writing. I might be inspired to write. I know I'll, for nothing else, I'll be inspired to listen to an audiobook or an interview or something like that. And that makes me feel fantastic. However, right after that, I'll be randy as fuck, though. Pause. I don't mean it. You know what I mean?
Get you going?
Yeah, that's what get me going.
Reading books?
Like, just that whole thing. Like, I'm so relaxed. I'm so in my mode.
Okay.
So you come out of that ready to go? Yeah, I'm fired up.
That makes sense.
I'm ready to do some hardcore loving.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. But then when you go through years and years of not having consistent loving to give, that can make you feel lonely.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then you have to evaluate. You have to cross-reference again and be like, okay, am I headed to where I want to get? Where I want to go? Right. And do I have, out of 100%, do I have most of that? I'm having 80 and 90% of the riches that I want. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
the time with my son, the time with my loved ones, the genuine time to reflect with my friends like you, laughing and enjoyment. Like, even when we arguing about sports or something like that, like, it's a genuine
right,
comrade moment, like that, mm-hmm, a compatriot moment for me.
For sure.
Of bonding. Because I feel like you can't really argue with people that ain't.
If you don't care, you wouldn't argue.
Right. And you can't. If it ain't your brother, you can't fight him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like your family, you're going to fight. And it's only going to increase the detail in which, you know what I mean, we receive one another. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
that's just the way I see it. So fellowshipping in that degree, having this flower of the plant, this herbal sage for me, this body sage for me, cleanses me in my spirit, my aura of static. You know what I mean? But it gets me back to that space where, Nige, you where you want to be. You going everywhere you want to go, and any woman they treasure you. You can't look at instances of you building and largely not being able to lend that much attention to a romantic relationship amounting to me not being worth anything. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was a point that minimalism, that kind of minimalism, served a point in my life when I went celibate for that year.
Right.
I wanted to minimalize, you know, my interactions, my relations in that degree with the fair sex, for evaluation of greater things that was going on in my life. I was curious about far greater things, like, you know, was I doing this with women because I hated them? Was I doing this simply because that was the masculine thing to do in my environment? Was I doing it on autopilot? Was I doing it because I was, you know, I've endured rape and molestation? Was I doing it out of a sense of control? I had to ask myself all those questions, which leads to the next point of mechanical manifestations. These segues are coming in kind of nice.
It's flowing well today.
It's flowing nice today.
Flowing very well.
And off the dome. Still off the dome.
Right.
So mechanical manifestations in the traditional sense to motherfuckers that's in engineering or, you know, or medicine, they have their meaning for it. But on this podcast and in my line of work, I operationalize mechanical manifestations as those machine-like earnings that you realize. Excuse me. It's making my mouth. This conversation making my mouth water. But pause. Mechanical manifestations are those machine-like tangibles that we produce almost without challenge. Like, without challenge, we just follow these ideals. like Caddy, this Caddy commercial right here, right? Like, that was the epitome of upper crust living.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You had you a Caddy that sick. That was the ultimate symbol of success.
Yep.
But what happens when you work hard as hell to get the job, and then you get the job and you work hard as hell to get the Caddy, then you get the Caddy to get back and forth to work, looking good as hell, working hard as hell to get the house. Then you get the house, and then you get the house. You make the house look good to nest and make a home so you can have somebody to share it with. Then you share it with somebody. You get somebody to share it with, and you work hard as hell with that person, only to still feel like, why did I do all of this shit? You ever feel like that, Goose?
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I got a homie right now. Right now. I got a couple homies, as a matter of fact, but I got one that I'm thinking of specifically. We was just talking about this. Uh-huh. And she was just like, we was kicking it, and I was like, yo, I know it'd be sometimes you'd be like, man, and fuck this motherfucking car note, man. And because, shit, right now, the way I feel, they can come get this motherfucker, man.
Right.
I'm tired of this bill. I'm tired of, you know what I mean, living in this apartment. I got my house set up how I want to, but I ain't got nobody that I can share it with. I'm tired of this and that. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, yo, wait a minute. First and foremost, I can't even sit here and allow you to talk about my friend like that. First and foremost. Secondly, niggas, do you not realize with everything that you have? Like, you woke up this morning, you ain't got cancer. No, your mom, your dad still here. They ain't got cancer. You ain't get knocked up by some loser lame. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For a life of turmoil with this person. Have your kids have these sucky ass qualities. You know what I mean? You ain't in prison.
Right.
You working on your credit. You got the car you want. The apartment you want. You got this motherfucker DIY the way you want it. Pinterest out. You know what I mean? You got all the red bottoms you want. You got the purses you want. You done took trips. Like, what the fuck else do you want? You're rich.
Yeah.
But you watching social media all the fucking time and you like, yo, how the hell are these people doing this and doing that and right. Blase blah and da 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 da. And these dudes be talking about they want a woman that's doing this and doing that. And mm-hmm. I said, you only see that because that's what you activated by. That's your reticular activating system. Women that know that they top choices, that they boss bitches and they ain't got time. They don't see that. They don't see memes and posts about how chicks is whatever.
Yeah.
They ain't fitting whatever criteria of the male gaze. They don't see that. They only see the shit that men put up that's like, yeah, queen, bless queen, salute, keep doing your thing, I support you, whatever. And she was like, damn, you know what, you right. You know what I mean? So I'm saying all this to say we create our own silos of loneliness.
All the time. For sure.
Because we want it. It's way better than, you know what I mean, the bliss of hard work. Towards my goals, towards something that I want. So then, like, okay, after you've tried it the way that they said you should try it, have the guts and the gall to try it the way that you want to try it after that. If you're left unfulfilled. If you're fulfilled, bravo. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back. I am super happy for you. As a matter of fact, I got protocol for you too. Let's help you move up managerially. However, for those other folks that feel like they're in desperate need or dire need of transformation, this is for you. This is your siren song. This is for you to no longer run away from your destiny. Answer your calling. And do what drives you fucking mad every day. Do the shit that you like to just do. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much shit that right now that you like to do that's worth something. But because you like to do it every day or all the time, you likely believe that there's no value in it. There can't be possibly any value in this because, you know, I'm so good at this. It just comes to me so effortlessly. And that's what art is. Is it not cool?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a fuck what it is. There's a level of artistry that goes into anything. I don't care if it's complex data analyzation. There's a level of creativity that one brings to that to resolve that immense amount of
Everyone's got
algorithmic data.
Everyone's got their own process.
For sure. For sure. The issue with that is people don't trust that they have a process.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to cop out to the ideals of the American dream because, shit, it seems, why not? It seems like a good enough ideal. And that's there's no fault in that. Only in following that ideal if it's not something that you see yourself wanting.
Yeah.
So even if it's being on social media, which is, this is another good segue. So like, boom, social media, right? Social media leaves a lot of people feeling like awkward or unwanted or left behind or like they're missing out or whatever, right? When they can just simply block any kind of negative commentation, anything. It's like, to me, just for the mere sake of not feeling alone and having something to do, you're willing to suffer the abuse of whatever social media is putting on you. Whether it be bullying, whether it be you know being instances of coming across posts that lets you know that you're not enough, or you know watching other people shining and taking trips and building families and enterprising, expanding brands and impacts or whatever. If that is hurtful for you, you could easily not do it.
Right.
But due to the, like this loneliness that you feel. Like you feel like you charged with this place in the world. Like I just have to, like I just got to take this. Like I got homies that be like, yo, you know, I've been a piece of shit. So, you know what I mean? I mean, damn, they ain't got to put posts up there. I feel like they be talking about me. They ain't got to do me like that, though. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, did they mention your name? Did they at you? Did in any kind of way, did they describe that was for you? No. Nah. So why are you assuming the blame?
Guilty conscience.
You're fucked up. Nobody else is looking at that like that.
Right.
So like, keep that in mind, man. You know what I mean? Long as you with yourself, you always in good company. You got to believe that. You have to. Because you're sure to lose if you don't. Because if you don't believe that you're good company, then why the hell would I want to hang out with you? Goose, would you want to hang with him?
Nah.
That's not the kind of people I surround myself with. I surround myself with winners, thought leaders, and difference makers, change agents, that, you know, people that I kind of constantly defend my thoughts around and why I think the way that I do. You know what I mean? And that forced me to grow. How can I put this? You can't expect to grow and have things easy at the same time. Whenever things get hard, is a time for you to be resilient. and show some growth. Rise above. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, what else was that? It was something else that we was supposed to talk about. Hold on, let me look at my joint. Let me look at my little agenda. Meditatively. Oh, I wanted to share with y'all. My product of what I came up with about what it is that I provide, which is eloquently titled "Request for Referrals." So I'm gonna share it with you guys, so it can be forever broken down what it is that you get when you tapping in with us. All right, so rock with me. All right, y'all ready? Bust it. Boom. Dear colleagues and community, it can be difficult to know whose services to recommend when friends, family, clients, or patients experience burnout, idea fatigue, poverty of thought, or sheer creative problem-solving skill deficits. Enriching those soft science skills requires a high level of knowledge, imagination, and evaluation. Similar services use generic or out-of-touch approaches to evaluation and enrichment. We believe that it is important for Phoenix Innovation Group to reach out to our community and describe our approach to creative problem solving and creative thinking. Our facilitators are here to guide you through this process, your process, while encouraging you to be your best self and contribute to said learning process. Excuse me. We describe our approach this way. A thorough assessment produces the precise cause of mechanical manifestations and a large collection of findings to accurately describe the lack of creativity, the type of press, which is your environment, and how this atrophy in creativity or creative thinking affects the holism of the individual. The implementation plan is personalized to each creative or individual using high-value facilitation and consultation methods for that creative-specific findings. Every session is handled as a challenge as well, continually updating the collection of findings. So boom, now I'm getting ready to move. I'm about to show you, tell y'all about the Krieg strategy, my Krieg technique, and what that entails. So a Krieg strategies always include four things: creative fanning, like fanning a fire. Everyone is creative and possesses the ability to develop the problem-solving skills that are essential in your personal and professional lives. Through the recognition of your own creative potential, self-reflection, skill development, and the planning of your future, it is our mission to equip you with skills and tools that will aid you empowering yourself to lead life charged up. Again, creativity is a natural life skill. It is learnable, teachable, and able to be deliberately developed further through creative training and creative problem-solving learnings. Number two, resilience education. Informing the creative on the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress, it means bouncing back from difficult experiences. And then I got imagination therapeutics, but I got it broken down as imagination, the rap you takes. So that's the dash rap dash you dash takes. And that's pronounced therapeutics. And I got it as the rap you take because, you know, as a rap is like, you get a good rap or a bad rap. Like, it's like a judgment, right? So it's the imagination, is the rap that you take in the story that you, in the narrative that you're telling in this life, right? So contemporary evidence-based programming progressively increases the creative tolerance to ambiguity and restores confidence with use. Here, we one, catalog the creative's memories and memories, experiences, and perception. Two, take ownership of the creative story by accepting personal responsibility and changing the narrative. Three, dig deeper into the creative's feelings and triggers. Four, gain a perspective of wins and losses, viewing hardship as trial and learn to be greater. And five, deliberately exploit divergent thinking for a sustained positive attitude and thinking. So then that brings us in to the last part of the career strategy loop, and that is grit advancement. And grit advancement influences the creative's overall quality of work. It is their mental commitment to excellence. Grit is defined as behavioral persistence in the face of adversity and sustained passionate pursuit of goals. Angela Duckworth, 2016. It's often said that grit and growth mindset go hand in hand. In a growth mindset, people believe that their most basic abilities can be developed through dedication and hard work. Brains and talent are just a starting point. This view creates a love of learning and resilience that is essential for great accomplishment. Carol Dweck, 2015. Exercise methods most commonly used in our practice is the creative problem-solving process, stick 'em up brainstorming, brain writing, point evaluation, PPCO, which is pluses, potentials, concerns, and overcoming concerns, reframing problems, assisters and resistors, appreciative inquiry, storyboarding, strategic planning, SWOT analysis, design thinking, intrinsic and extrinsic values. And when you're exercising creative thinking, it's important to remember these ground rules for divergent and convergent thinking, which are types of critical thinking. So for divergence, you want to defer judgment. And I know that's really, really hard to do, but it's a reason why that's the cornerstone of divergent thinking, because it helps you be fluent. So one, you want to defer judgment. You want to strive for quantity, seek wild and unusual ideas, build on others' ideas, and then allow some time for incubation if possible. And then with convergence, on the other end, or in contrast, is you want to be affirmative. You want to talk nice. You want to look at the pluses of your solutions or your ideas. You want to be deliberate with your approach. You want to check your objectives and make sure you got what you're looking for. You're striking goals. You got some novelty. You want to improve other ideas. And you want to, again, consider that novelty. An easy analogy for remembering what divergent thinking is like is like hitting the gas pedal on the brake. When you're diverging, you want to just hit the gas and let your brain go. You want to let your ideas free flow. And when you're ready to start evaluating, you want to hit the brake and start selecting and highlighting the ideas that prove to be, you know, most salient, that is showing some type of promise for resolve. Some other important things to remember with working with us in Phoenix and Innovation Group is that is the exploration of human capital, i.e. cultural, social, relationship, experiential, and scholastic, and how it impacts the creative's life and finances. We also look at credentializing, the act of placing another's work history, life history, or educational credential over one's own diversity as validity and credibility. And we also offer the Burn Ward, 700 square feet of space for creatives, innovators, managers, whatever, to burn up and find some resolve to transform, to build those soft skills, to learn more about soft sciences, especially like, you know, if you're in customer service, you're an engineer, you're a researcher, you might find it complex to build, to have, you know, to utilize those efforts of collaborating with other individuals, of teaching somebody else, of leading a team. And this is your gym. This is your workout arena for getting that stuff wrong. And we updating our work every day. So come on in. You know what I mean? This is what we do. We get it wrong so we can get it right, baby. You know what I mean? We execute. We put things into practice, right, Goose? We get it wrong right away.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? We treat it like horny boys trying to have sex. You don't care about getting it wrong. You trying to get it right. You know what I mean? So that's how we feel about this. That's how we feel about success. We horny for it, man. You know what I mean? Grown to be sapio sexual. You know? I get aroused watching, like, being inspired now. You know what I mean? It's different for me now. Oh, yeah. Shout out my young boy right here, the young king.
Of course.
You like that young idea?
Of course.
That's my man, young Caesar.
Right.
You know? Managed by my dog, my big dog, my dog, my man, my brother, ATM, Touch of Magic, at Magic the Messiah. Shout out to my cousin too earlier, man, when I was listening to that Yeah Baby, that Big Pun made me think of my cousin Rodell. We used to be riding in what did he have back in the day? Is that a Mazda you had, cuz? That blue joint? That had the seatbelt that came automatically across us. We used to be listening to that Big Pun. Anytime we was in the car, should I remember that shit? That made me think about that. It was nostalgia. But yeah, man. You know what I mean? This has been another one, man. Goose, what else we got? What else we got to deliver? What else we got to touch on?
I think the only other thing to touch on, I think you were going to get to that article. Or you not?
What joint?
The one you talked about at the beginning. Oh, yeah.
Time Magazine.
That's the only thing you wanted to talk about.
My guy. Good looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom. If you're tuning in, right, to the podcast, and, like, if you go into the YouTube channel, you'll see the Time Magazine I'm talking about. The Science of Creativity, a special time edition, Imagination at Everyday Age, The Power of Sleep, Your Inner Genius. They displaying this until May 31st. So, page 82. I love these time special editions. You look at my bag right now, it's at least three other joints in there. Mindfulness, unlocking your brain, something like all kind of joints. They like quick abstracts of what's happening in this science, in these sciences. And, you know, I nerd out about that kind of shit. So this article is called When Schools Get Creative by Katie Riley. And the subtitle is Despite Obstacles, Large Class Sizes, and an Emphasis on Standardized Tests, Some Teachers Are Nurturing Pure Imagination. So if you're tuning in to YouTube, you can see the article. So it pops right off with one of the all-star facilitators, persons, leaders, just creatives, Ismet Mamnoon. Just a dope person, super humble. You meet her, you wouldn't even know none of this. You know what I mean? Like, what she got going. She's just a super dope person, super dope spirit, man. Like, nothing about her, it's hard to explain. Like, nothing about her is like something that you could see that she wears. Like, she's a parent. She's a wife. She's a fucking international star when it comes to this creativity thing. You know what I mean? She's all over the conferences. And I work with her. I work with her at No Innovation, right? We're on the same team there, too. And then you got Dr. Gerard Puccio, the chairman of the International Center for Studies and Creativity at SUNY Buffalo State. And he gives a quote that says, "There's never been a time in my life when it's been a greater demand," talking about for creativity in education and in the field. And they go on to talk about, contribute to the conversation by Katie, curated by Katie Riley, saying that in the 2016 report by the World Economic Forum predicted that the top three job skills in 2020 will be complex problem solving, critical thinking, and creativity. Noting that although artificial intelligence will continue to disrupt the workforce and replace certain jobs, creativity is uniquely human advantage. So there you have it again. If y'all just think that I'd be on here talking my shit, hype beast and shit, you know what I mean? Just love hearing myself speak or whatever, you know what I mean? Some of you haters in the back be talking about, but still tuning in. You know what I mean? I'm really genuinely here to be of service. If you really listening, I give up game each and every episode proudly, authentically. This brings me so much joy, y'all don't even understand. I go hard, scouring the earth for more hacks. That will help you synthesize more strategy, that help you gain more resolve in your approach, to have more fruitful endeavors, to be 100% present and mindful in all your interactions, mindful in every moment of your day. I'm on the front lines. I'm here with you. The cost is great, but I got it. You got it. I know I'm on my motivational shit right now. You know what I mean? But call it the spirit. I can't help it, nor do I want to. It wouldn't be so hard for me. I wouldn't see as many any hardships if even half the people I grew up with stepped up into what they supposed to be doing. I have a greater brain trust. Like I was kicking it with my guy, John Torrey. Shout him out, Dr. John Torrey. He just conferred. It's official. He flew in hot last night from Memphis with the big ass PhD degree. Shout him out for his work he's doing in rectificatory justice. Check him out. And he open to do talks wherever, whenever, however. But yeah, we was kicking it earlier. And we was talking, what was I talking about before that goes?
Before
when I was just mentioning John Torrey. I was talking about something that led to what we was talking about earlier. Shit. I was saying that I was kicking it with my guy earlier about a bunch of things. And we started talking about this whole thing about loneliness and how that's playing a part in dating and all kinds of things. And like how it's like driving a wedge in romance in some ways, because it's like you meet these incredible Black women that it's like you see forever in their eyes, but you just not ready. You know what I mean? And instead of causing any kind of heartache and pain, you kind of like just go with it. when you, and ultimately that's all you're sure to provoke, because you're not being honest. But then when you be honest, or quote unquote too honest, it's like you your rhetoric gets bypassed, and it's like, I hear what I want to hear. And ultimately, nigga, you gonna be my man. We doing it, whatever. Like, I'm coming over your house. I enjoy your energy. Like, if I love you hard enough, you'll love me overall. And then neither one of us are in a position where we're deliberately steering this vessel to where we want it to go. It's sheerly driven by feeling, emotion. And instead of taking a step back to evaluate and say, like, hey, like, this is what I'm communicating to you. You know what I mean? I don't want to continue to communicate this with you, and you still think that I'm saying what you want to, you know what I mean? Basically what you want to hear. And that ends up hurting both of us, because we could have so much more. You know what I mean? But it's being limited to whether this act of coitus or whatever. It's being minimized. So that's the point I was trying to make earlier with Brother Tom, with another point I was making with Brother John Torrey. Like, the conversations that him and I and Goose that we have, you know, brothers is taking that in their directions and doing whatever they doing with it. You know what I mean? We fed ourselves intellectually. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to go somewhere. We could have just been talking about fuck all day and how many bitches we fucking and what the sports is doing, and, you know, them niggas know what's up, and just the bullshit fuck all, right? Tedious. Sucker shit. But instead, we're talking about impactful shit, empowering shit. Now, imagine if we did that deliberately within trust, with 200 other minds. And then the capabilities, the opportunities that will arise because of such. The whole point of when I'm talking, I'm teaching, when I'm listening, I'm learning. I'd rather be the disclaimer friend that this is the shit that, yo, he always talking about this kind of shit right here, man. Like, just so you know, like, he might get into some of that motivational shit, right, Goose?
Right.
I'd rather have the disclaimer for that than just being around for the sake of being around. Not contributing to anything, or being upset to the energies that I'm privy to without deciding or making deliberate effort to be where I want to be and sharing the energy that wants to share into me. Again, complaining that my life isn't, because I'm leaving it up to chance, it's not happening to the degree in which I wish that, you know, the chances that I would, that I wish that it will happen. You got to be steering that shit. You know what I mean? When a motherfucker get rich, that's consistent effort. When a motherfucker buys a mansion, that's institutional wealth. That's being built every second of every day. I had to tell my son, you know what I mean? My son be coming down on me, but my son be giving me, he's like my illest advisor. You know what I mean? He just told me recently, you know, I love to ask him when he wakes up, heading with a good morning, son, and bless you, and, you know, did you sleep well, and what's your dream? What did you dream? Yeah, what did you dream about? So in a way of helping him kind of, like, you see Snoop, and help him kind of catalog his dreams instead of letting him just, you know, just drift off into the vapor, into the ethereal. So last Saturday, I asked him what he dreamed about. He was like, I dreamt about you. I'm like, man, you ain't dream about me, man. You only telling me you dreamt about me because I just asked you that. So he was like, no, Dad, for real. I did dream about you. I said, yeah, so what did you dream about? He was like, you turned into a you was scared. I was like, oh, for real? No. Matter of fact, no. He was like, you turned into a monster. And I was like, oh, word, I turned into a monster. Now, immediately from my environment, I immediately signify monster as being a good thing, because monster in the streets mean like, shit, you handle your business and at all costs. So I was like, okay, but I know what in the degree in which he meant monster. He like, he probably could have meant like a playful monster, or he could have meant like a real monster. So I'm like, so what you mean? What you mean like I turned into a monster? No, I was like, okay, I turned into a monster, okay. And I was getting ready to walk away. And he was just like, but you only turned into a monster because you were scared. And I was like, damn. And he was like playing with his toe. Like he was sitting on his ottoman and like with his knee, like with his foot, one foot on the floor and one foot on the ottoman, with like his knee in his chest. And he was like playing with his toes and watching, I think he was watching ZZ Kids at the time. So like he was watching that, but he was explaining to me the dream. So like if he was making this up, he had me convinced, right? So even if like even if his rhetoric was to tell me that, like, you know, I was only a monster because I was scared, I understood that as fear turns me into that monster. You know what I mean? And like, how dope is that to have my son advise me of that? His dream advised me of that. So from that moment on, I was like, no fear. Fuck it. And I think I mentioned that in the previous podcast. So he come down on me sometime too and be like, you know, we live at the job house or whatever. You know what I mean? Like when we was living in commercials, like we living in the commercials place and going hired out of there, trapping. But I'm like, son, there's nothing conventional about hustling, making or enterprising a free enterprise off of your ideas. Like, right? Like I like solved a problem and satisfied a niche with soft skill incubation, right? So he liked to watch the videos on my MacBook, and the commercials come on, and one of the infomercials that be invading my playlist is about real estate. So he like, daddy, come here, you gotta see this. So I'm going there and see. He like, yo, this is my favorite commercial right here. I love that commercial right there. I'm like, why? He's like, he's gonna show you ways on how to get a house. He's gonna show you how to get a house. And I'm like, yo, son, I don't know. Like, is you thinking we like slumming and bumming? Like, we are like great. We're in better shape than we've ever been. Like, even before you came along, like I'm in the best shape of my life. Like, you're in the best shape. You got parents that love you. You have the latitude to be as creative as you want to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, do the freedom to do what you want and think on your own because of this lifestyle that's provided to you. That's because of the route I chose to take. It's working. But you got to give your dad some time. And I talk to him just like that. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn that you five. You about to be five in 2 weeks. I talk to you just like, since you think that you can understand grown man business, I'm going to give it to you like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm doing something that you should be proud of always. I didn't have parents like how you got. I wasn't afforded these opportunities. My year five was a nightmare.
Right.
I'm not saying that yours is all peachy king. You still got to deal with the shit he got to deal with, mm-hmm. from his perspective, from his vantage. But shit, it ain't nothing like how I had.
Right.
Oh, well, so that's my guy. And I listen to what he say, and he leads me. As a creative, he leads me into new thought and challenging my thought and forcing me to defend something that I believe in. You know what I mean? And not just saying, because I want it that way. And shut up. You my son. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Do as I say and not as I do. Type shit. You know what I mean? I have intellectual conversations with him. He came up to me and was like, yo, I guess he was thinking about why we don't play with guns. As I remember a while back, I told you I don't play with guns because, shit, I really grew up with them. You know what I mean? I really grew up in heinous situations with that, perilous situations with that. You know what I mean? I wear war wounds because of such instances. And he came up to me one day and was like, yo, he was like, Dad, so you carried a gun every day? And I said, yeah, there were instances that instruments of like that was around because of like the circumstance of the environment. He like, so all your friends was doing that? And I didn't want him to start thinking like this was like a cartoon or a video game or something like that. So I had to highlight to him like things that's on the news and with the police and with other, you know, with other like men on men, the violence and jails and things like that. So I'm talking to him about that. And then I had to bring up the origin of that, like, you know, the crack epidemic and, you know, how my mom is still on drugs and what that meant for me and my brother and an environment that we grew up in the war. What was it? The war on drugs. What the war on drugs did to the Lower East Side of Buffalo? The crack epidemic. You know, I'm not happy about it, but I can't be ashamed of something that I survived. I endured. Like that could have killed me and claimed my lives in so many different ways. And I was able to turn that around and shatter paradigms and do something different. So I feel like that's a culminating in that's like the capstone point to bring this episode to a close. What you think, Goose?
I think so. I think that was the perfect way to close it.
Like sometimes you got to go up in your shell. Sometimes you got to go dig. You got to dig deep. You know what I mean? You got to go to the Dagobah system since May 4th was just right here. You know what I mean? May the force be with you. You got to go to the Dagobah system if you want the light. You got to go in that cave by yourself with no tools. And you got to trust that you got everything that you need to come out on that other side victorious. And it's going to feel real lonely sometimes. But know that you just feel lonely. You need to do a self-interest inquiry. Some inventory of what you got going on around you. Get some 360-degree feedback. Hang with people that love to hang with you just because you are who you are. Do things that you like to do just because they bring you joy and fulfillment. And don't be afraid to let others in on your process of doing what you do because they're curious. They're trying to tell you that there's value in whatever it is that you're doing because they're curious as to how you keep doing it consistently and making it look so effortless. And take that time that you largely think is your time to be lonely or being lonely to reflect on all the things that you are. All the things that you have so that you never need and all the instances that you've always been provided for. Even when you thought that you were in your most bleakest times, the universe provided or whatever it is that you believe in provided for you. You was never alone. Somehow, some way you emerged on that other side in glory, in triumph, in success. Use that time instead of feeling like you alone. Think about you being in a space or in a time that you're the one and only person that can be thinking about what you're thinking about, whatever problem it is that you're trying to solve in that moment. And it will behoove you to be disciplined in your thought and reflect. The answers, the cheat codes are within your reflection. And if you can't mine it out, bring it to me. Email me at phoenixinnovationgroup@gmail.com. DM me on Twitter at Naja True. DM me on Instagram at AskThePhoenix. I'm on LinkedIn. Naja Bolden, management consultant, creativity strategist. I'm at the Burn War, Pearl Street, Buffalo, New York. Come holla at me. You know what I mean? I get you everywhere to come find me. Give me somewhere I can find you. Goose, where can they find you at?
Goose Swavy on everything.
Get at him. And if you into that R&B thing, where can they find you on SoundCloud?
Goose Swavy. On everything.
On everything. You just missed the bomb ass, what is it, Valentine's mix?
Yeah.
The critically acclaimed every year.
I do a Valentine's mix every year.
It's critically acclaimed, right?
It is.
It's got way more than 30, 40 followers.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been going longer, though.
Yeah. And we've been having significant growth.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, we got significant growth. You've seen it in a week's time.
Right.
We went up 200 plays, so I ain't happy. I'm happy about that. We went from 3,500, 3,700 plays, so this thing is steady getting, it's steady growing and growing. And our market is expanding further and further. We overseas. We got people overseas checking in. So I know it's genuinely like driving an impact. The people that's checking in with us, it's not like by happenstance. Like somebody just happens to be picking this up and listening to it. Like the people that's listening, that subscribe to us, they genuinely following like what's happening. Absolutely. So I am grateful to y'all. I appreciate y'all. Because y'all are who I'm doing this for. You know what I mean? This is my thoughts. This is, you know, what I've been able to come up with my research, with through my matriculation, through my studies, my disciplines, my travels, my conversations. These are all the strategies and things that I've been able to synthesize, man, from thin air. And I'm it's an honor to be of service, to have something to even share with you all. So, man, just know that I'm humbled to be here, and I'm grateful, and I'm eager, and I'm excited every time I get to come on here. You ask Goose, man, I'm saying every time we drop a joint, it's the best joint ever, straight up. We beat the falling card every time. You dig? So, yeah, that's that. Another successful episode 32, right, Goose?
31.
Episode 31, you looked it up?
Episode 31.
My guy, thank you. Now I ain't got the ball without you, Goose. We still gonna ball together. You know what I mean? My guy. We might go out to this right here. I was gonna go out to my man Dame Dot, but I think we might have played that last time. Yeah, I think we got that in last time. We might have not doubled, but it's always next time. You know what I mean? And if you want me to share my playlist with you, I just might, you know what I mean? If you know how to keep your hands to yourself, you might be able to share in my playlist, you know what I mean? Long as you ain't trying to add shit to my shit, you know what I mean? So until next time, kings and queens, what can they do, Goose?
Flame on.
Until next time, kings and queens, man, continue to inspire others, man, and keep, you know, lighting the way for somebody else, man. And just know that you are an inspiration by you being your unique self. Somebody is watching you. You never know who is watching you. Somebody is your biggest fan looking at you right now. Keep doing what you do, how you doing it for them. You know what I mean? When you ain't got enough to do it for yourself, keep doing it for them, man, because you're doing it well. You dig? We need that. And to the guys and goddesses, we need you to keep creating. We need you to keep being that buttress of light, you know, and in this world. You know, it's so much stuff going on in this world that we was having an intense conversation earlier about is the light or the dark winning? I couldn't even believe if that was a conversation. I believe wholeheartedly that light is winning. You know what I mean? No matter what. What you believe, Goose?
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes, you know, times do get bleak, man. But you got to know that this shit is always working out in our favor. It's only built. It's only made to develop character. You know what I'm saying? This is your attribute. This is your avatar. Level up. This is your game of 2K. It's your game of Madden, of Mortal Kombat, or baseball, or UFC, WWF, whatever. You get to be 100% in this life on all levels. You dig what I mean? You got to want that, though. You got to want that, man. So, yeah, man. And to my Phoenixes all over the world, man. Like that, like the episode before last, the Game of Thrones, the Red Witch, well, I forgot her name, the Red Witch, something like that. When she had everybody light their swords up in the sky, you know what I mean? Until next time, Phoenixes, flame on.